Take This From Me Tonight by Nigh Impossible. Read by Mamutastic.
This is a birthday treat for crying on Sundays.
A Nikki OV Modern Royalty Arranged Marriage Hockey RPF AU.
This story contains mild ableist language.
Resignation. That's the predominant feeling thrumming through Niklas's veins as he stands before his countrymen, his betrothed, and God above. He's been trying to put his finger on the emotion all morning, but yes, that's it. Resignation. This is the life he must now accept. It's the life he'd always planned on accepting, give or take a few minor details. It's certainly not a surprise, and perhaps has never been, but on the day, Niklas finds himself mildly disappointed all the same. Perhaps that is his own fault. He has always been chastised for his prideful nature by every governess he's ever had. "You must be less stubborn, Nikki," Miss Gerda had told him harshly, "or you are never going to be happy." Niklas had not so secretly disagreed with this point. He could be as perfectly stubborn as he liked, as long as he was right. And Niklas was usually right. From what Niklas can understand, the wedding had been a rather difficult event to gain entry to, considering Crown Prince Alexander Mikhailovich Ovechkin's rising popularity both amongst the Russian people and abroad. Alexander, for his part, looks every inch a prince on this, his wedding day. Their wedding day, Niklas supposes. They had met before, just once, after Russia had proposed a marriage to the Swedish royal family. Niklas had read up on the second son of Mikhail and Tatiana judiciously. To certain members of the press corps, he is a wild child who enjoys himself too much to be taken seriously. To others, he is endearingly childish but too distracted to run a country successfully. To Niklas, it's obvious that Alexander's personality is expansive enough to overshadow anyone in his wake. It's actually fairly ideal, considering that Niklas has no taste for the limelight. He just hopes that in private quarters, Alexander has the courtesy not to steamroll him. It was, therefore, rather odd when the official visit had occurred that Alexander, just Sasha, Alexander had requested upon his official introduction, had appeared astonishingly nervous to meet Niklas. When the Russian delegation had arrived in Stockholm to propose, Niklas had overheard Alexander quietly fight with his handler about the way in which the proposal would be offered.
"You say the Russian nation is happy to propose this alliance of holy matrimony to you, Niklas Backstrom, your family, and the great nation of Sweden."
Niklas heard the handler whisper loudly as each delegation prepared for the formal invitation. "Oh, no, no." Alexander shook his head, and Niklas found his stomach oddly tightening. Did the Russian prince not desire this arrangement? Now that Alexander had laid eyes on Niklas, did he find his form so displeasing that marriage was now unthinkable? Niklas couldn't help but frown at the idea, and Gustav, their translator, had instantly pinched his arm.
"You at least have to pretend you're happy," Gustav hissed at Niklas in swift, blunt Swedish.
Niklas calmed his expression into smooth passivity. It would not be his fault if things went sour.
"Can you say that? I just give ring because I..."
Niklas listened to Alexander beg before his handler cut him off.
"Don't be shy, Sasha," his handler interrupted. "Come on."
At the time, it had seemed impossible that Alexander Ovechkin, second son and heir to the throne of all Russia, with his vibrant personality and his devoted legions across the globe, was nervous to meet Niklas. Indeed, for a time, Niklas had thought that perhaps Alexander was attempting some kind of elaborate joke. It wasn't beyond the realm of possibility. It seemed far more likely than Alexander Ovechkin being a shy man.
"You ready, Nikki?"
Alexander squeezes his hand, bringing Niklas back to the present, where the archbishop is winding up to ask Niklas for his concession to the rest of his life.
"As I'll ever be," Nicholas allows. He has allowed Alexander a lot of things recently, including a nickname that only his parents have ever used, and more space in his future than he's ever promised anyone. He is now trapped in a moment where he can only say yes. It's a heavy, scary feeling. Nicholas tamps down his dismay as best he can before replying to the Archbishop in a courteous and impassive voice. I do. Their wedding chamber is opulent and warm and well stocked with food and drink and a large, ornate bed fit for true royalty. Nicholas himself would prefer the comfort of his own bed, but he supposes that he'll no longer sleep in that room. So, Alexander begins. Nicholas reaches up to undo his bow tie, tugging at one end and running it through his collar. How do you want to do this, Alexander? Nicholas asks perfunctorily, shirking off his jacket and unbuttoning his vest. He's been embarrassingly, agonizingly instructed on how this night is supposed to unfold, how Nicholas is supposed to fulfill his duty to his country and his marriage by performing the rite of consummation. At least they no longer ask for bloody sheets. No, those days are long in the medieval past. These days, royal marriage consummation is confirmed by assumption. Of course they made love on their wedding night. Of course they sealed the pact between their countries. Of course they did their duty. I tell you already, call me Sasha, Alexander says quietly. Alexander, Nicholas repeats. He doesn't get a say in much, but he gets a say in what he'll call his husband. In this respect, Nicholas can exert a modicum of control. Nicholas continues unbuttoning his own shirt. Alexander reaches out to help, and Nicholas jerks away. Alexander will not strip him. He will unclothe himself. Come on. Alexander makes a face and lets his hand drop to his side. No. Nicholas freezes. You think I am that kind of man? Alexander asks bitterly. For a brief, flickering moment, Nicholas wishes they both could speak in their mother tongues and understand each other perfectly. There is something lost in translation. Nicholas is certain of it. I don't know what kind of man you are, Nicholas says carefully. I only know our circumstances. Alexander does not even respond. He simply stalks out of the room in what Nicholas labels a veritable huff, only to come back a few minutes later. You sleep here. I sleep in guest room, Alexander pronounces. Good night. He doesn't speak like he's asking if Nicholas is all right with the new arrangement. He says it like he's stealing himself for the long haul, like he's not even speaking to Nicholas at all. Nicholas is left there alone, with his shirt open and a ring on his finger, for the rest of the evening. As a loyal subject of Sweden, I expect the things I'm about to tell you to remain confidential, Nicholas begins. Marcus raises an eyebrow, bridging his fingers seriously. As my friend, I expect you to be absolutely insufferable. Can you just spit it out? Marcus groans. Alexander and I, Nicholas grits out. Marcus grins. Yes, the happy couple! Nicholas frowns. Not so. Nicholas has known the young lord since they were both young children. Raised by the same governess as the crown prince himself, Marcus Johansson was well connected, well thought of, and well liked throughout the country. All of those things matter little to Nicholas at the moment. What matters to Nicholas is that Marcus is the one human on the planet who knows about Nicholas's penchant for skinny dipping in the summer months. He can be trusted. He cannot be trusted not to laugh in Niklas's face, but Niklas can deal with humiliation. Nikki, Marcus says darkly, I don't want to know about Alex Ovechkin's inability to get it up. He turned me down on our wedding night, Niklas blurts out. Marcus's eyes widen. So you two are unconsummated? Niklas covers Marcus's mouth with his palm. We don't say that word in this castle, in this country. Marcus raises an eyebrow at him, and Niklas uncovers Marcus's mouth. I don't know what to say to him, Niklas frowns. He makes you nervous, Marcus nods. You always act ice fucking cold when you're nervous. Niklas glares at Marcus. Or mad, Marcus amends. He asked me what kind of man I thought he was, Niklas says quietly, closing his eyes and seeing the look of disgust on Alexander's face. I wanted to get it over with. Maybe Prince Ovi doesn't want to be something you cross off your little checklist, Marcus suggests. Maybe he wants to try and be friends with the man he'll be tied to for the rest of his life. Can't blame the guy. Being friends with you is way better than the alternative. White sand beaches, Niklas says to himself, gritting his teeth before climbing up the steps of the private jet taking him and Alexander to a private island in the Mediterranean for their honeymoon. White sand beaches must be worth this torture. Torture? Alexander asks, putting a hand on Niklas's shoulder. We go to paradise, no torture. Niklas shrugs, and Alexander's hand falls off him. Niklas tries not to focus on the smile fading from Alexander's face. Their PR and maintenance staff wander toward the back of the plane while Alexander and Niklas find their spots in the first cabin. They sit next to each other in what Niklas is certain are very expensively designed and crafted seats. Niklas could give a damn about that, truth be told. The last time they had forced him into a plane, it had been for the US summit, and Niklas had nearly vomited on the American Prince's shoes where they had been well met on the tarmac. Luckily, Prince TJ is quick on his feet and very forgiving. Sweden had the photos of their official first meeting destroyed, of course. Niklas puts in his earbuds and tries to unfocus, which is difficult considering his personality. His hands grip the armrest tightly, his knuckles yellowing under the exertion. He hates this. Hates being confined for so long, hates giving himself onto this mechanical beast and just praying for a good outcome. Nikki, Alexander asks him, tugging an earbud out of Niklas's ear. What wrong? Niklas bites his cheek. It's fine. It's not, but he'll deal with it. Alexander frowns. Plain bad. Niklas attempts to peel his fingers off the armrest one by one. They hit a small bump, and Niklas finds himself clutching at it once more. I don't like giving up control. He's not sure Alexander will understand what he means by that, but there's no way he's going to be able to explain in stilted, broken English how he hates the feeling that he's handing over the reins of his life. But Alexander just nods. Be better if you fly plane. More control. He repeats the word as if trying out the taste of it on his tongue. He purses his lips. Want to see cockpit? Help, maybe. Their pilots are named Elias and Gustav, and they explain the controls to Niklas as he looks around the cabin's expansive button and dial collection. They offer to let Niklas fly at cruising altitude, but Niklas shrugs them off. He doesn't want to be responsible for the death of Russia's beloved son. Elias can only speak Swedish, but Gustav knows enough English to speak to Alexander, though Alexander's questions had stopped toward the beginning of their interrogation of the pilots, after Niklas's questions had started coming from him like a font of never-ending queries. What does this do? That switch? What if that dial goes into the red? Niklas slips easily into his native tongue, and when he turns to Alexander, he feels less strained. Tack. He grins.
Alexander gives him a confused face before Nicholas realizes he's still speaking in Swedish. Thank you, he corrects himself. Alexander's answering smile is as bright and blistering as the sun. The villa they are taken to is more like a mansion, and the connecting beach and surrounding private isle are unspeakably beautiful. Worthplein, right? Yes? Alexander grins at him as Niklas stares out at the blue-green ocean vista. They speak to the media after they unpack. How are you liking married life, Alex? Niklas purses his lips a little, keeping his expression neutral, while Alexander replies, Nikki is best husband. Now all other people jealous of me. Have to keep eye out. He winks at the reporters and they laugh. And while Niklas knows that it is a lie, he can't help but smile a little at Alexander's exuberant stance on their non-existent relationship. You seem happy too, Niklas, another reporter remarks. Thoughts on no longer being Sweden's most eligible bachelor? They're standing behind a makeshift podium and out of sight of the other reporters. Alexander gives Niklas a little thumbs up with his left hand in support before flattening his palm against the wood of the shelf built into the podium. Against all odds, Niklas finds himself flattening his own palm on top of Alexander's, threading his fingers in the spaces in between. He doesn't look at Alexander's face, just stares out at the media and allows himself a quiet moment of relishing the heat of Alexander's skin beneath his hand. So far so good, Niklas finally says, and as the media laugh at the curtness of his answer, he finds that he means it. They spend their day on the beach. Niklas reads, and then Alexander drags him into the ocean for a long swim, and then they lay on the beach to dry off and rest. The sun is bright and beautiful above them. Paradise is nice, Niklas groans into the towel in their cabana. Niklas gets burned on the apples of his cheeks and the bridge of his nose, and Alexander has a wretched burn across the tops of his shoulders, but Niklas would count their first day in Greece as an absolute delight. There's only one bed. We will share, Niklas says resolutely. But, Alexander starts, and Niklas crosses his arms over his chest. You're not running away again, Niklas says tightly. Come on, it's the only option. There's no couch, but that's not what Niklas means. There's always option. Alexander bites out. He looks mad. What is so wrong with me? Niklas finally blurts out. He has to know. He has to know what has caused Alexander such distaste. Is it his face? His manner? He has been told so often of his stubborn nature. Nothing wrong, Alexander murmurs. Just. Alexander sits down on the bed. Their bed. Many people not like me. Alexander shrugs before Niklas can wave off the statement. No, it's true, I know. Many people like, many not like. Is life for Russian, no? Niklas doesn't reply. As a Swedish prince, he is less well known, but he is also less hated by the world. The Cold War did a lot to sully the Russian royal family's reputation, and despite being just 6 when the Iron Curtain came down, being Russian royalty had certain connotations in the eyes of the Western world. Niklas is certain that in matching Sweden with Russia through matrimony, Russia hoped to soften this view. I just, Alexander continues, head bowed. People hate me, okay? World hate me? Not great, but I live. You hate me, Alexander shrugs. I can't live that way. Niklas sits down next to him. There is a coldness between them, frosty and terrible, and it takes a lot to continue to sit there. But Niklas remains. I don't hate you. You not like me. Niklas sighs and takes his hand, drawing it into his lap.
Our circumstances have been difficult. I've known for a long time that I would have no say in my future. It has been hard to reconcile myself to this. Niklas smiled at Alexander ruefully. I do not think I am alone in feeling this way, no matter what kind of face you put on for the press. Niklas draws circles absently in the middle of Alexander's palm.
Not alone, Alexander nods. He's looking at Niklas like he's a skittish animal, ready to run at a moment's notice. And maybe Niklas is. All Niklas knows is that there is a gentle, easy pull at the base of his stomach, and the room smells like ocean and vanilla, and...
You're not like... No control. I know. Alexander grins at him. So how about you in charge, okay?
Niklas's eyebrows shoot up.
What?
I know what world thinks. Maybe what you think, too.
Big Russian. Very scary. Mean, probably.
Alexander is looking at Niklas with those blue eyes, and Niklas finds himself more than captivated. He feels lured.
So let them think. We know who runs show.
It is unfathomable, this kind of talk. It is unfathomable that Niklas has been so easily read by this man. This man. Niklas raises Alexander's hand to his lips.
Nikki, Alexander groans, if...
Shut up, Sasha. Niklas sighs, throwing him down against the bed and straddling him. Alexander, no, it's Sasha now, is looking up at him with an expression that Niklas can only qualify as dangerous. Their first kiss is nothing like this kiss. Their first kiss was in front of hundreds in person and thousands, maybe millions, on their television sets at home. Their first kiss was celibate, quick, and without passion. That is not this kiss. Niklas licks against Sasha's lips, wanton and desirous, wet and hot and aching. Niklas grinds his hips down against Sasha's lap, and Sasha groans into Niklas's mouth. Niklas stops, only to peel off his shirt and toss it to the side, baring his chest in the dim moonlight.
Nikki,
Sasha hisses, running a hand down Niklas's chest, fingernails skirting along his nipple so gently. Niklas hisses at a touch, and once more.
You kill me.
Niklas tugs down Sasha's ugliest sin floral patterned board shorts.
We burn these.
Okay. Sasha grins, resting on his elbows and staring down at Niklas as he drops to his knees.
I have more.
The sounds Sasha makes when Niklas takes him in his mouth, they're intoxicating. Niklas can't believe they haven't been doing this for days. Can't believe they've been waiting so long. And yet, it is better this way. It is better to be understood completely. And as much as Sasha is misconstrued by the media as some kind of terrible barbarian, he's not an idiot. He reads characters well. He reads Niklas well. Niklas licks along his shaft as it continues to harden under his ministrations, and Sasha looks like he's watching pigs fly. Niklas hums in surprise at the expression, and as he pulls off, Sasha tilts his head up at him.
You look surprised. Did you think we'd wait a lifetime? Hope not, Sasha hisses as Niklas jerks his hand up and down his cock, now slick with saliva. But would wait.
He sits up and wipes away a line of spit running down Niklas's chin.
For you, would wait long time.
Niklas feels his heart clenching tightly, and he needs to be closer. He needs to make Sasha feel the weight of his decision, his choice. He needs to show Sasha his yes.
I want, Niklas murmurs, palming at the front of his shorts, and Sasha murmurs, yes, yes, and pulls Niklas back up on the bed with him.
Niklas opens himself up with two fingers as Sasha watches in rapt attention, as if taking mental notes, and maybe he is. When Niklas hisses, Sasha grabs the lube packet from the bed and squeezes it onto Niklas's fingertips.
Go slow,
Sasha suggests. He doesn't want to see Niklas in pain. Niklas gets that.
No,
Niklas grunts. He needs.
He lifts his hips as Sasha enters him, and Sasha puts a palm beneath his ass, holding him up for a better angle.
Good, Niklas grits out, trying to relax. Good, yes.
They fuck like that in a gentle, easy rhythm once Niklas has acclimated, face to face, so that Niklas can see Sasha's entranced expression on his face. It's empowering, to say the least.
Come on,
Niklas encourages, grabbing at Sasha's thighs. Niklas hooks his heels in the crooks of Sasha's knees and rocks his hips up at him.
More.
Niklas has heard the phrase, being fucked through the mattress, before, and he's had lovers in the past that had left him feeling content. But there is a difference between content and satisfied. There's a difference between want and need.
Fuck!
Niklas whimpers as Sasha drives into him. It's sensation overload. Every stroke feels so intensely good that Niklas finds his fingernails biting into the skin of Sasha's back. Sasha has buried his face into Niklas's neck, lips moving in quiet, urgent Russian that Niklas cannot understand. It is good. It is excellent. It is losing control and liking it. Niklas comes with a hard shout that echoes through the room. He spurts himself over the V of Sasha's hips, untouched. Sasha fucks him through it, pace unrelenting and merciless before grinding to a halt as Niklas catches his breath.
Don't move,
Niklas murmurs, trying to desensitize himself. Sasha waits. Niklas settles himself and nods.
Okay, go.
He hasn't had a hickey in years. Nice work, Niklas grins at Sasha in the bathroom mirror. He points at his beautiful dark purple bruise showing starkly against his pale neck.
Should I say I was mauled by an animal?
Jellyfish attack, Sasha suggests with a grin, looking pleased. Are there jellyfish in the Mediterranean? Niklas muses, splashing water on his face to wipe off the last few remnants of his shaving cream. Sasha shrugs and walks over with his towel tied at his waist. He comes up behind Niklas and settles in there, wrapping his arms low on Niklas's hips, hooking his thumbs on Niklas's hip bones.
We find out, Sasha nods, together.
Take the way.
You've just finished listening to Take This From Me Tonight by Nigh Impossible. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for the author on AO3. If you enjoyed my recording of this story, please leave me some feedback, also on AO3. Thank you to Nigh Impossible for giving blanket permission to Podfic. Thank you to Marky and Bethany for suggesting churches for the song choice. And thank you to every other person that I badger to help me find a song that works for this fic. The song I ended up using as scene breaks is Make Them Gold by Churches. And now for some reader free talk. Hey guys, it's Momo. I wanted to record this story for ITPE 2018, but then didn't get around to it, which is honestly for the better in the end. Because instead I got to record it for Crying on Sundays for their birthday. Happy birthday, Leash! I hope you enjoyed this story. Your ITPE letter said you like marriages of convenience, characters being bad at feelings but feeling a lot anyway, and sappy rom-coms. In my opinion, this fic ticks these boxes, so I hope you enjoyed it. I also wanted to record you something as a thank you for the amazing podfic you gave me for Christmas. It's not nearly as long as what you got me, but I hope you'll enjoy it anyway. And I will admit that the other reason I wanted to record this fic is that it ticks a bunch of boxes for me as well. There's the modern royalty AU, the arranged marriage, and the misunderstandings and quiet, almost pining. It's just good. For the actual recording, however, oh god. It really didn't go as smoothly as I had hoped. Nikki's accent is all over the place because, first of all, I don't know how to fake a Swedish accent. Like, I didn't even try, but what ended up happening is that he sort of sounds half British, half American, and half whatever my accent is. And then I didn't prepare properly before recording this and thought they were speaking Swedish most of the time, when in fact they were actually speaking English almost the entire time. Ah well, since they're both foreign languages for Ovi at least, his accent, as bad as my Russian accents are, is not wrong. So, there's that. The rest of the trouble came from the fact that while this read really well in my head, actually reading it out loud was a bit of a struggle because of many conflicting sounds. My mouth just couldn't transition quickly enough between S and SH sounds and W and V sounds, which probably just means that I need to slow down while reading, I guess. I'm still pleased with the end result, though. This is now the second modern royalty hockey RPF AU I've recorded, and I doubt it will be the last. Maybe I'll end up recording one for every team that I'm starting to like. I'm not making any promises, we'll have to wait and see, but it's a definite possibility. Like, if there's anything that will reel me in, it's modern royalty arranged marriage AUs with pining and misunderstandings. Anyway, if you want to listen to a couple of outtakes from the recording, stay tuned because they're coming up next. And until I talk to you the next time, thanks for listening as always, and hope to speak to you soon. Bye!
He's been trying to put his finger on the emotion all morning. Fuck's sake. Nicholas had read up on the second son of Mikhail and Tatiana judiciously. Nicholas had read up on the second son of Mikhail and Tatiana judiciously. That's a terrible word. Nicholas had read up on the second son of Mikhail and Tatiana judiciously. Judiciously. Ah! Nicholas heard the handler whisper loudly as each delegation prepared for the formal invitation. Now, the question is, how would you pronounce Beckstrom? Why do I do this to myself? My god, you look dead inside, Nikki. Nicholas covers Marcus's mouth with his paw. Nicholas is certain that it meant.
Niklas is certain that in matching Sweden with Russia through this is so excruciating.